Hello, and welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Kevin.
I'm Donald.
And I will always be Jared.
Today we have another delicious superhero smackdown. We have three exciting battles for you today. We have the Battle of the Rejects.
Covered in gravy.
We have the Battle of the Drunks.
Covered in alcohol.
And we have the Battle of the Cybernetic Men.
Slathered in metal.
Absolutely.
And barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce. Speaking of barbecue sauce, do you know how many places there are out here where people just sell barbecue on the side of the street?
At least 500.
Yeah, probably.
At least 500 street meat barbecue vendors.
Yeah. We should take this show on the road and do like street vending smackdowns.
Street vending smackdowns.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool. The taco sushi truck versus like the...
right.
This is going to be one where like so when there's just no more superheroes in the world, who would win between food truck vendors? The Kogi Korean barbecue fusion or the grilled cheese truck?
Actually, I would like to add a third into this. I would take the Slummin' Gourmet.
Slummin' Gourmet.
Mm-hmm. Lobster corn dog. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to start out today, I think Jared should start out with his Battle of the Rejects because it sounds like a very compelling and most interesting of matchups.
Yeah, this is one that I was very happy to do. It was on our tome. Our list of battles that we've come up with.
And God knows we have like 1,000 of them written down already.
We text each other constantly like the middle of the night. Like, oh my God, I just got it.
Yeah, and it's usually like naked pictures, but yeah. Sometimes it's...
Oh, and by the way, this would be a cool superhero smackdown. Sorry about my dick pic.
Right.
But today, yes, I have the Battle of the Rejects, or the C-listers, or the Sad Sacks. I know.
Isn't that the one where you sent me the picture of your nuts and
I did not do that picture.
Okay.
So my teams, it's another team one because I'm kind of obsessed, are the Great Lakes Avengers, the GLA, and the Legion of Substitute Superheroes. Now,
wow, there's actually a group called that?
Yeah. The Legion of Substitute Heroes were a team of
oh my God. Was Bouncing Boy in this?
Bouncing Boy was like their god because like they have a Legion, if you read Legion of Superheroes, which I love, they always have audition issues. And new members come in and they kind of show what their powers are and they get in or they don't. The Legion of Substitute Heroes were all the heroes that got rejected. Some of them eventually do make it to the main team, the Legion of Superheroes, but a lot of them don't because they just have either powers they can't control or powers that just don't work. Like there's one, I don't use him, but there's a guy called Color Kid who can just change the color of things. So not too effective in a battle.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he makes someone go colorblind, that would be enough.
No.
Well, no, he can't make them go colorblind.
Oh.
He could just...
I mean, he could change their color, maybe.
He could be like, hey, you got a white shirt on? Now it's fuchsia. Oh, fuck! So on the Great Lakes Avengers, I have the first five members, the founding members. And one is their team leader. The Great Lakes Avengers, by the way, were... a wannabe Avengers team. And I think they got trained eventually by Hawkeye and Mockingbird, but...
Who just made fun of them.
Yeah, like, they were just literally a joke.
So much. Just mocking.
Are they basically like a fourth string team, essentially?
Yeah, well, they were like a team that, like, it was more like, if we don't help them, they're just going to go get into trouble and fuck up stuff.
Mm.
So their leader is Mr. Immortal. His superpowers is he's a highly skilled acrobat and athlete. Immortality via resurrection. So he doesn't have super strength. He doesn't have anything special except if he dies, he comes back. And it's sad. Like at one point he asks like death to like just kill him. And they're like, I can't do it. That's your thing. Like you're just going to constantly resurrect. Then you have Dinosaur. And she is obviously a dinosaur looking girl.
Oh, she looks pretty cool.
Yeah, she's cool looking. She's got flight via razor-tipped wings, limited sonic powers, empathic calming, and she's ageless. So, you know, she won't age. Big Bertha is actually a supermodel who can turn into a giant fat woman.
She's a skilled aircraft pilot, superhuman strength and durability, ability to alter size and mass of her body and leap great distances. So she's like the Blob with like Hulk leaping powers.
That's cool.
Nice. Yeah. Then you have Flatman, who is kind of like a Reed Richards, except he's got elasticity, except he's got a flat body. And he can't really make the same shapes that a Reed Richards could. He can make origami shape-shifting. So he can do...
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so he can do all kinds of weird little shapes like that. And then lastly, you have Doorman, who is pretty much a living portal, except it's not as cool. It's not like he can, like, take you anywhere. He's literally like a door. So if he's standing in front of a wall and you walk through him, he's intangible, you would just be outside.
That could come in handy a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the Great Lakes Avengers. Then you have the first five original members of the Legion of Substitute Heroes, and they're fun. You have Chlorophyll Kid.
I like that.
He has the power to make plants grow extremely fast. He gained this power after falling into a vat of super plant growth formula as a small child. He claims he can only accelerate plant growth, not control plants, but sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. You have Fire Lad. He gained the powers to breathe fire, often accidentally, as he suffers from allergies. So the main thing you're going to find out with the Legion of Substitute Heroes is their powers, they can't control them. They might have a cool power sometimes, but they can't control it. You have Polar Boy, their leader. He has the ability to protect cold and ice, and he usually has difficulty controlling those powers. You have Stone Boy, who has the power to turn into stone.
That's it.
He's a statue. He just becomes a statue of stone. You have Night Girl, who actually is kind of cool, except Night Girl only has the power. She has super strength and invulnerability, which were engineered by her father, but they are only effective in darkness. Okay. She has to be in darkness.
That's so weird.
Okay, so now you know the Great Lakes Avengers and you know the Legion of Substitute superheroes?
I'm already going to say this sounds a bit outmatched.
Like, well,
not necessarily.
Hold your...
I mean...
You're probably right. I think I know where you're going, and you're probably right. But the battle itself is so fun. So with that, let the smackdown begin. All right. So right as the battle starts, Chlorophyll Kid releases a bunch of spores. That's what he has. He has these spores, and he can just make plants grow. And he can make all kinds of alien plants grow, every type of plant. So right away, he makes these giant... man-eating, almost like Little Shop of Horrors plants, like all over the place. One of them grabs Mr. Immortal, starts chomping him, eats him up, spits him out.
Wow.
And then he resurrects himself. Dinosaur starts flying to the air with her razor-type wings, and she's slicing the plant. She's killing as many as she can. But one chomps her up, eats her, and spits her out. She's done. Dinosaur just eaten by a plant.
Already?
Chlorophyll Kid, though, is celebrating. He's like, yeah, I did it! But he doesn't realize. He's a little kind of chubby kid. He looks like a tubby piece of plant food. He can't control his plants. So one of his man-eating plants turns on him and has a nice, fat, chubby, healthy meal of chlorophyll.
Sounds like a praying mantis.
That's yeah.
Oh, like no. Carl's Jr. right there.
Oh, so no. He gets eaten by his own plants.
That sucks.
Polar Boy is the leader of this of the Legion of Substitutes. And he's like, oh my god, things are out of control. I got to start taking care of the killer plants that now are completely out of control. So he just starts freezing everything, but he can't control his power. So he's freezing everything.
Mm.
So ice everywhere. Everything's just like frosted.
Mm-hmm.
He is shooting his ice. He's killing the plants, though, because he's freezing them up and they're dying. They have no more life. Flatman's like, I got to stop this guy. So Flatman elongates and wraps himself around Polar Boy. Except Polar Boy can't control his powers. He encases both of them in a block of ice. Now, Fire Lad sees that his leader is trapped. So he says, well, what can melt ice? Fire. So he takes a big breath, unleashes a big fireball. But instead of saving his fearless leader, he incinerates both Polar Boy and Flatman into a pile of ash.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
He is heartbroken. He is just lost control. He doesn't know what to do. Mr. Immortal on the sidelines now. He sees Stone Boy. Stone Boy is not turned into stone yet. Mr. Immortal is a great acrobat. He does this big flip, comes up, and he's going to headbutt Stone Boy. Stone Boy turns into stone and splatters
Mr. Immortal's brains all over the place. He falls to the ground dead. And then he resurrects himself.
Mm-hmm.
Or doesn't resurrect himself. He's just resurrected.
Stone Boy doesn't move. He stays a stone statue.
Then you have Night Girl. She sees Doorman. She charges at Doorman, hoping his darkness also might ignite her powers. She runs right through him into a wall and is knocked unconscious.
Mm.
She starts to come to. She's a little groggy. And she looks up and she sees this giant ass mass of Big Bertha about to sit on her. The impending shadow of death actually ignites her powers.
Makes sense.
She gives a super strong tank punch that sends Bertha flying. Bertha crashes against the wall, stunned. Now, Fire Lad is still reeling from killing Polar Boy, their leader. He sees Doorman standing helpless in front of Night Girl, and in a blind rage, he shoots a powerful fireball from his mouth at Doorman. It passes through Doorman and incinerates Night Girl.
Oh, no.
Into a pile of ash. Fire Lad screams, "What the fuck?" and begins unleashing uncontrollable flames everywhere. Mr. Immortal tries to stop him,
gets incinerated, and resurrects himself. Another "what the fuck" screams from the lungs of Fire Lad.
Now Big Bertha, she starts to come to from her punch from Night Girl and sees just bedlam everywhere. She reaches unknowingly for Stone Boy, thinking he's just a large pillar, and she begins to club Fire Lad to death because he is just going nuts, and she realizes he's the one who's causing the flame. So she's just smacking him, and as she's killing Fire Lad, she's just breaking Stone Boy into pieces. She's just crumping because he's just becoming rock.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Fire Lad's dead. Stone Boy returns to human form into a pile of screaming body parts. Now, to stop the screaming and put him out of his misery, Mr. Immortal stomps on Stone Boy's head, but slips on the goo, cracks his head on the ground, dies,
and then comes
and resurrects himself.
Right. So thereby, and I think you were going with this too, the Great Lakes Avengers win with Big Bertha still standing, Doorman still standing, and Mr. Immortal, of course, always still alive. And there you have it. The Great Lakes Avengers beat the Legion of Substitute Heroes. But boy, was it fun to watch these guys just kill themselves.
My God, that poor Fire Dude.
Oh, man. Well, I started having fun because I was like, these guys can't, the Legion of Substitutes can't control their powers. The Great Lakes just have no proper training. They actually have some cool powers. They just don't have the proper training. So everything, if you look at it, the Great Lakes was just by default of the Legion fucking
screwing themselves over.
And by, you know, obviously Mr. Immortal can't die. So he was kind of just going to be there no matter what. It was almost like our own Resurrection Man, except zero powers. So I got to say this was fun because it was just fun killing all these poor sad sacks.
Yeah.
Not my boss.
It's always fun when you can willingly just like play God for a moment with some of these characters and mm-hmm. just watch them get obliterated.
Well, and the cool thing I was reading, because it got me to read up on, I've always known about both these teams because I love the C, D listers.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that was cool was Doorman actually becomes, or he always was, but you don't find out, the avatar of Death Urge, who was like kind of a death. He's kind of like the herald of death. He's the herald of death. And like Death Urge would show up at, he's like this guy all in black. He's kind of like Grim Reaper-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But so, total ripoff. They basically made Doorman the Black Racer from DC.
Yeah.
Because he would even, they said he would go on ski. He found out he could take souls to the land of the dead via skiing, which is a total Black Racer. So they obviously completely ripped it off.
Why on earth, like, okay, like, the Black Racer is not, like, to me, is like a really hokey character.
Super
like,
hokey.
Like,
yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Why on earth would anybody go, we gotta rip that off? You know, like a guy
so
blatantly on skis that heralds it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Somebody was bored and was like reading a bunch of New Gods and was like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we actually took Doorman and did something interesting with him? But the fact was, he's a little portal guy. He's a doorway. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Doorman, stand right here so I can walk outside and not have to go out the door.
Right. Or you go down in the basement. That'd be kind of funny if he was pulling pranks.
Right.
He would just lay on the floor. Somebody get off the couch and just boom, right down into the basement.
Well, they said his benefit was they could do surprise attacks really well.
Because
he could just stand somewhere and they could just appear, you know, like just go right through him and go in.
Yeah. I would wonder, though, if he stood between, two people, if, somebody, for example, if you would just forget, and maybe if you tripped or something, you fell through him, if you would, land, into the other person, possibly. If you both fell in.
So messed up.
What if you just fell halfway through Doorman?
I'm sure it happened at some point.
You know, then he's walking around with your legs out one side and your head out the other.
He's like, guys, I don't know how to write this. I'm so sorry.
Talk about your head out of your ass, yeah. You know? It's literally he's walking around with one person stuck in him. That would be kind of cool, though. Have maybe three or four people stuck in Doorman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they won't come out. You know, he's trying to walk and they're just weighing him down.
I got to say, out of the histories, though, of the guys I read, I read a lot of Legion and of superheroes. And like I said, some of the, Polar Boy actually learns to control his power and becomes a member. Night Girl becomes a trainer or something like that. But the other guys stay substitutes. But the Great Lakes Avengers are actually very, they've had some cool writers write them and make some cool backstories for them. Mr. Immortal is actually really tragic. His girlfriend kills herself at one point. Aww. And he wants to die and they're like, sorry. Jesus. Tries, yeah.
Oh, poor guy. Poor fella.
Yeah.
I like the origami. Flatman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like Flatman.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty rad.
They're fun. No, they're super fun. And Dinosaur was cool. I think Dinosaur actually got killed, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, she did here, too.
Well, yeah, she literally did get
killed. She's a professional dyer, apparently.
Yeah.
Kind of like in wrestling, the jobber.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was reading, too, Squirrel Girl, who's become quite popular, was a member, but she was, their all-star member. She joined later on. And she actually left the team because she was like, they're all just counting on me. So if you're counting on Squirrel Girl, your team needs some help.
That's true.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. But Bertha, that seems like just a female blob.
Female blob? She's actually cooler because she can leap.
Yeah.
She's got super strength. I think the blob has super strength. She's huge.
But she's mobile.
And then she's completely mobile. Yeah.
Right. I mean, was she just really stupid or?
No, she was actually, I think on the team, she was one of the smarter ones.
What the hell, man? She could carry, literally, and figuratively, carry that team.
Yeah. Well, she...
The hell was Squirrel Girl?
I think Mr. Immortal put out, an ad for superheroes, and that's what that's how they formed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would probably be what happened if I ever got superpowers and tried to form a team.
Right. So, judging on what I've given to the trio here, would you say the Great Lakes would take it?
The way you described it, I really can't argue with that, especially if you have a guy who just keeps coming back, Mr. Immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be an issue.
Yeah.
I knew hands down. Down, right from the start. Yeah, it's definitely going to be the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
It's going to take this.
And plus, the other team is, I hate to say this, they're unintentionally incompetent.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
And that literally will get you killed.
Yep.
And certainly it did.
Absolutely.
It got them killed. Did. They're all killed.
They got killed, it did.
All right, so let's see. Battle of the Drunks or Battle of the Cyborgs?
Go with Battle of the Cyborgs.
All right.
All right, Battle of the Cyborgs it is. Kevin, what do you got?
What I have here, gentlemen, I have Victor Stone, DC Cyborg, versus the Michael Collins version of Deathlok.
The guy who started the IRA?
Yes.
Oh, that's really
weird.
Is
that the movie with Liam Neeson, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's just dating all of us right here at this table.
I know,
Michael Collins, the movie, Liam Neeson.
I don't know. I don't know who that even is.
Now, you're a man of Irish heritage.
You have to know your Irish history.
I know.
I don't know who Liam Neeson is.
Never mind. Goodness.
Yeah.
He's a man with a special set of skills.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a sweet ponytail in a Star Wars movie.
Oh, great voice, too.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just the youngest out of the group, so...
He's 14 years old.
Yeah.
He's just this weird kid that we hang out with, and we're weird for hanging out with him because we're in our 60s.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, but I appreciate all the early
like somebody
bird
Googling
meals.
All of us right now going, are they really in their 60s and he's 14? Weirdos. The real creep box.
You promised me candy.
Just read the comics and talk about the battles. All right, what do we got?
All right, Michael Collins debuted, this particular version of Deathlok debuted in Marvel Comics Presents number 62 in 1990. Michael's brain was taken from his body and put in a cyborg for this secret government Deathlok program.
Yes.
Unintentionally, unfortunately. And
wait, unintentionally? What, did they accidentally take his brain?
No. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm using the wrong word here. They intentionally took it because he learned certain secrets about this company he was working for called CyberTech. And I guess the way to shut him up was to, you know, basically
shut him down.
Shut him down. So they took him and then reboot him. Yeah, basically reboot him. They took his brain, reboot him in this cyborg, and he became Deathlok. Now, what's interesting about him, his skeleton is composed of unbreakable adamantium.
Of course.
They give him adamantium, really?
Yeah, well, wow. Apparently they did, according to this.
Throwing that shit around.
Yeah, man. Unbreakable adamantium, while his muscles and cartilage are a flexible steel adamantium alloy.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Does DC have an adamantium?
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't
think so either. Would the Nith metal kind of come closest to that?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Probably. They don't say it's unbreakable, though. They just say it's
very effective.
It's almost like magical.
Yeah.
It's almost like magical. This is going to get really nerdy. It's like magical vibranium, like the Wakandan stuff.
Yeah.
Because it can, like, also, like, disperse energy, I think, like that.
That's true.
So.
I don't know.
It's up there. It's got to be up there with it. It's a good comparison. It's probably the most equivalent.
That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. The cybernetic left eye that he has is sensitive to the spectrum stretching above and below visible light, while his left eye cybernetic ear has directional capabilities, and a CPU is housed within his torso.
He's got a computer in his chest?
Yes, it rests next to a controlled fusion generator, which powers him. That's basically how he...
A fusion generator? That sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He has a plasma rifle with more firepower and a plasma grenade launcher. Due to his limitations, though, Collins has a no-killing parameter. And these weapons...
And you're called Deathlok?
Yes. Well, because he was able to take control over it later on, and so he has like almost like a Batman type thing. I don't want to kill. Kind of weird.
Okay.
Kind of weird,
but right? He was created originally to kill.
Yes. Yeah, okay. But he was able to eventually like take it over.
All right.
Okay.
Now, the other cyborg involved in this is Victor Stone. He has many abilities. And also, I forgot to add that Michael Collins, he's also a very brilliant man. He has a PhD in prosthetics and neuroscience and a master's degree in computer science. I just want to put that out there.
A genius level intellect.
Yes, I just want to put it out there. He's a genius level intellect as well as Mr. Victor Stone. So
that's a big one. That's a huge one.
It's very important. So Victor Stone debuted in DC Comics Presents number 26. Kind of interesting, you know?
That is pretty funny.
Also, the same issue that Raven made her first appearance.
See, if I didn't just get fired from my job, I would... try and get that one.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a good book to have.
You got fired from your job.
Didn't I talk you into getting that? Like,
I think you did. I think you did.
A couple years ago, when I first heard like rumors of him appearing in the Justice League in the movies, I called Kevin up. I think I was walking down the sidewalk, and I was like, Kevin, you gotta get that book. You gotta get that book. It's got two first appearances in one. It's a twofer. It's a twofer, Kevin.
And a big twofer though, too. That's a huge twofer.
Oh yeah, and it was relatively cheap at the time. I think you could get it for like $30 or $40.
Right.
Now, not so much.
Now you're in the triple digits, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But Victor Stone debuted in DC Comics number 26 in 1980. He also has a genius level intellect, skilled in hand-to-hand combat, adaptive evolution, technomorphic healing. And with that technomorphic abilities, he's able to physically assimilate other pieces of technology into himself, as well as freely alternate his cybernetic body at will. He also has the ability of technopathy, able to take control of machines. Cyberspace immersion, enhanced human ability. His body parts were replaced, of course, after his accident at Star Labs. And the armor, the prosthetics he has, gives him super strength, other functions. He has sensors, advanced weaponry, you know, the works.
What was the big one they always used? The Sonic.
Yes,
right?
Sonic. Oh, yes,
I'm just remembering the cartoon. Remember the
cannon arm? Or
Yeah. Yes, it's like a Sonic cannon.
Yeah, I always thought that was super cool.
And one important thing that I like about him, he has boom tube manipulation.
You know, boom tube.
Basically, you know, due to absorbing and interfacing with a mother box, he can open up a boom tube extra dimensional portal to take him from, you know, place to place throughout the universe.
Sounds like Alien TV.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I'm going to just watch something on the old boom tube.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah.
So these two guys are so, very...
Let me ask real quick.
Yeah.
Did he have the Mother Box technology from the start, or was this something that came later?
This came later.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I did not remember him having that at first. In fact, they've overpowered him now. Yeah. Much more than they did when he first came out.
Even in the they just announced that he's a character in Injustice 2, the video game, and they showed a glimpse of his special move, his finisher, and he uses the boom tube technology.
Yeah.
Yes. Indeed. Also, his cybernetics gives him the ability to regenerate and also perform other mechanical enhancements. And another thing that has an advantage here, he has jump jets. He's able to basically fly.
Nice.
Yes. And now, let the smackdown begin. The way I think this would go down, this would be a very interesting fight between these two very brilliant cybernetic men. I can see both of them, or I foresee both of them, they would use their abilities to hack into different machines, different computers, and launch missiles at each other, for example. So you'd have like this crazy, you know, almost like the Terminator, you know.
Oh my god, you'd have like World War III.
Yes. Yes.
Just between these two guys. Yes. And just destroy everything.
It basically like a, what was it, Cyberdyne, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, you basically would have that situation.
Miles Bennett Dyson.
Yes. You'd have that all go down. You know, there'd just be firing. It basically, cities would be getting destroyed left and right. Nuclear holocaust would come about. You know, I mean,
Lord.
I mean, hey, these guys could just hack into different, you know, computers all around the world, especially supercomputers. They would just go crazy. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when you're done breaking things down, I believe that Mr. Victor Stone Cyborg has the edge. And one reason for that is, as I mentioned earlier, Deathlok has this no killing thing going on, you know, in his system. But where Cyborg Victor Stone, as far as I know, I don't think has a problem with that. After all, I believe he killed many parademons and, you know, during his time against, you know, with the Justice League and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's going to come down to a bloody battle, I believe Mr. Cyborg will eventually win. He could also use, you know, his boom tube, you know, extra dimensional portal manipulation if he wanted to at some point to teleport Deathlok if he got a hold of him and throw him into a sun somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond that, just the fact that his ability to take over machines, I think it gives him an edge as well. He might be able to manipulate the machinery and Deathlok,
right,
and be able to actually just, you know, destabilize his machinery, especially in close contact. You know, if they're actually going hand to hand combat at that point, he might be able to actually just basically take over the Deathlok system and just. I believe that Cyborg would be able to override Deathlok's program while they're in hand to hand combat. He can probably use, you know, his hand and, you know, take control of his cybernetics at some point. Although I would say the Deathlok would also be able to do something of the same thing, but it just wouldn't be as powerful or as effective as Cyborg's program. It's just more advanced, especially when you have access to, you know, cosmic technology.
New Genesis
technology. So I think in the end, Cyborg would overload Deathlok's program and then basically just boom, just blow him up.
Now,
shut him down.
I got more of a rebuttal for that, because I don't know necessarily that it's going to be that easy for Cyborg.
First of all,
I don't think they're going to go nuclear. I don't think they're going to go World War III on each other's asses, because they both value human life.
I was going to say, yeah, personality-wise,
yeah,
he might kill some parademons, but to me, parademons are like robots or
they're not human anymore.
Yeah. Zombies or something.
Deathlok was started out. He was basically an assassin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was programmed to kill.
A killing machine. He's a Terminator, pretty much.
Right. And whether that protocol is in there or not, Deathlok has either always found a way to not kill, even if that protocol is there, or if there's a protocol not to kill, another way to break that protocol.
Right.
He's just too strong of a character, I feel, to just stay within that parameter. He's an assassin. He's also lower tech than Cyborg.
Which
is to his disadvantage, but could also be to his advantage. How low tech is he? We're talking about some type of mechanics and stuff, but I always felt that Deathlok was more steampunk than computer.
Right.
I always felt like there's gears and things like in there when he's moving and stuff, and he's more traditional Cyborg than Cyborg actually is himself. So I think while if Cyborg gets his hands on him, he might be able to shut down some systems, but there still is that human aspect, the Deathlok, that's very much there.
Mm-hmm.
And Deathlok will shoot to kill. He will try to gouge out eyes. He will try to do whatever he can because he's a guy that will try to win at any cost.
Right.
If you're using chess versus checkers,
yes,
Deathlok is chess. Cyborg is checkers. Cyborg really? Used to be, what is his background? He used to be a college football player, I think, or just
his
a kid.
Dad was the scientist.
But his,
dad was a scientist.
True.
IQ high or not.
Yes.
He was, that was not his field.
Right.
That was not his, where he was. Deathlok, if I recall, he did some bad things in the past
mm-hmm.
prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong here or?
Well, I'm trying to remember. This particular version.
This version is different.
Michael Collins, I didn't.
Okay. We'll just assume he did. And even if he didn't, he learned along the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get dirty. He's going to pull from his past. He's going to pull from things he's done in the past. Cyborg's going to pull from what he knows and what he's learned along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ultimately it's going to be the fact that Cyborg's going to hesitate and Deathlok will not. I think it's going to come down to compassion. I think it's going to come down to hesitation. And I think it's going to come down to sheer will. And I think Deathlok will take it.
Really? So even though Cyborg has more regenerative properties and resurrection properties and whatnot, and able to just keep self-repair and...
You can't repair tissue. You know what I mean? He shoots him in the head on the part where there's actual scalp and brain. That's it. Maybe the other half will work for a little bit, but he just blasts that. I'm sure it's going to need the other half to repair itself, or it should anyway, theoretically speaking.
So you think Deathlok will get some first before Cyborg gets to him?
Dealing with a yin and yang. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Plus, he's been a sniper before.
Right.
I mean, he'll just stand back and shoot him in the head, kill the brain side of him. The metal part will function for a little bit, shooting off rounds. Deathlok gets low, comes in, killing blow. Even if Cyborg gets a hold of him and starts to try to rearrange things, it's going against lower tech. It's trying to figure out, like, it's almost like using a digital download, trying to figure out, if a digital download was real, it trying to figure out a 5.24 or 1.4 floppy disk.
So, but you don't think he wouldn't be able to figure it out because he has adaptive capabilities.
He has adaptive capabilities,
and he could probably put a virus into Deathlok's program.
But is Deathlok's program high enough up that virus is applicable? Is the virus too high tech that it will not activate that? And even if it does, does the human side of Deathlok still have that capability to stay functional long enough to pull a trigger? And I say yes, it probably does. I'm gonna pull. I know it's a big upset for you. Yeah, I know, Kevin, because I know you like Cyborg. He's your boy, but I like Deathlok. I've always liked Deathlok. He's not the popularest character in the world.
No, he's a cool character,
especially after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No. Not so popular after that.
He would be a good, if we ever do another underrated character one, he'd be up there.
Yeah, top of the list. So I definitely am going to give it the Deathlok by a nose.
You know, I like how you're using my chess versus checkers theory on this one against me. I like that.
Mm-hmm. That is, yeah. I got to say,
very clever.
Donald put out some great arguments. One of the things that popped it
in your mind?
Yeah, well, right off the bat, I would say Cyborg. He's just a higher tech. He's just got way more things going for him.
Mm-hmm.
But... and I also have to agree, I don't think it would go nuclear holocaust because, yeah, I think they're both...
Well, like, the only reason why I said it, I figured it would just happen by accident. I'm not saying that they would, oh, yeah, let's just use...
Or whatever, Kevin. You just wanted annihilation.
Yes,
you wanted the Terminator future.
Yes, I did.
Now, what it was for me, actually,
mm-hmm.
Cyborg, when we were talking about what Cyborg was before, he was a football player. He was also... It was high school, right?
Yeah.
He was a teenager. He's a teenager.
Yeah. Teen Titans.
Teen Titans. He's still a kid.
Well, it depends what version you're using. Maybe I'm the one I'm using is the more young adult Justice League member.
Even that one, though. Young adult. So he's in his 20s. Let's say he's in his 20s. A little more experience, but he's still in his 20s. Definitely knows how to use his tech more.
Right.
Deathlok is a grown man, right?
Yes, he's a grown man.
A grown man who's hyper-intelligent.
And been killing for how many years?
Well, that's the thing, too. I'm not totally familiar with this version. Now, was he under their control for a while?
Before? Yes, he was under control for a while. So I guess that's your point, is the fact that he was...
Okay, I'll even give you another interesting one. So I think we all agree that Deathlok's tech is way, like, 50 generations below what Cyborg's is. And especially if Cyborg's dealing with the new Genesis stuff. So say, okay, check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg tries to do this, adapt into, or even adapt his tech or put a virus into it.
Mm-hmm.
If we're dealing with a Deathlok that is, you know, reformed, like he's in control, Michael Collins is in control of it, he fucks with that tech, he reverts back to a killing machine, and then there's no compunction about killing Cyborg. And he's up close and personal, and he's got plasma blasters and grenade blasters, and like we were saying, he hits the part of the head that, you know, is human on Cyborg. There's it's pretty blatant of like what parts are like out.
And I don't even see like Deathlok being the type of guy that would just carry like tech.
He could have some like big knife. Adamantium knife or something
right,
like that.
Absolutely. And we failed to mention again the adamantium skeleton.
He's an unbreakable guy.
Yes, right. He's an adamantium skeleton.
So he's not taking the damage that you would think he would be taking if he was just like a human or an armored guy. He's an adamantium armored. So that's unbreakable as far as you know, comic lore goes. So I'm going with, it's funny because I would have went chess versus checkers as far as Cyborg being chess. And Deathlok being checkers, but
actually the other way around. Yeah, Deathlok is chess.
Well, no, I'm saying I would have originally gone with Cyborg because just Cyborg's tech is chess.
Mm-hmm.
Deathlok's tech is checkers.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Cyborg's experience is checkers, and Deathlok's experience is chess. So
gotcha.
This is fun.
It's a good one.
I'm gonna go with Deathlok as well.
All right. Well, that's fine. Like I said, I don't think there's an absolute correct answer in this.
Oh, no, there is.
Yeah, it's our answer.
Oh, well, hey.
This is a democracy, and majority has ruled.
Yes.
It's an opinion. Okay.
Now you get to sit in the corner.
Hey, guys, I had to go with Aquaman beating Submariner, and I will still to this day say I don't go with that. So I took it, and in that battle, Aquaman won.
Okay.
In this one,
all right,
Kevin... You're just gonna have to eat it.
Fine.
Deathlok won.
Fine. I will take it up the you know what.
Well, I don't think we gotta go that. Yeah, we're not. I mean, I'm 14 Deathlok here.
Deathlok.
And I'm in my 60s. I need some Viagra.
Okay. I've been overruled here, ladies and gentlemen. Deathlok wins over Cyborg. You know, this is the first time I've ever been defeated in one of my when I destroyed this. It's the first time I've ever been told.
No, but these are the good ones. You want those ones.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've had draws and wins when you guys usually agree to agree.
You've always been defeated with me.
Oh, really?
I just go against you no matter
what. I gotta say though, yours always drum up, I think, some of the best
controversies.
All right, so let's without any further ado, let's
battle of the drunks.
Battle of the drunks.
Yep, the battle of the drunks. I have in this corner Hercules from Marvel Comics.
Nice. I thought it was about Disney movie.
No. No, not from the Disney movie. And not The Rock. Although actually like The Rock movie. I don't know if anybody saw
it. I remember it coming out.
Brett Ratner directed it. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. But it's fun. And people will hate me for it, but I thought it was fun. Of course, I think I was drinking at the time, so that helped. Hercules from Marvel Comics versus Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong lore from Valiant Comics.
Wow, there we go. First Valiant, I think.
Entry into Valiant Comics, and here we go. As far as Hercules, everybody knows Hercules. I don't have to get into the details of that.
Strong dude.
Half son of God, half mortal. Oh, man.
The Lion of Olympus, right?
Is Zeus his daddy?
Zeus,
yeah.
He's the daddy.
And when we go to Armstrong, here's a little bit about Armstrong. I'm going to be very brief. Armstrong, whose real name is Aram, is a 10,000-year-old immortal in the middle of three immortal brothers. But unlike his siblings, who have dedicated their existences to meaningful causes, Aram changed his name to Armstrong and spends his entire life drinking beer, writing poetry, chasing women, and generally getting into trouble. He's also partners in crime with Obadiah Archer, who was trained for almost 8 years at a Buddhist monastery to be a living weapon.
Like an iron fist.
Right, an iron fist right in your... Anyway, so
Kunlun.
We have Archer and Armstrong. I'm going to go over a little bit as far as Hercules' powers here. Hercules' powers, he has vast superhuman strength, as we all know. He has the strength of an Olympian god, capable of lifting over 100 tons. He can jump great distances. He can run very fast. He's been observed. This is great. He's been observed lifting and hurling a giant sequoia tree, carrying a starship across his back and shoulders.
Those are very specific.
And this is my favorite one. And tossing Godzilla.
Really?
Yeah. Tossing Godzilla.
I want to see that.
He also drugged the
Godzilla's in the Gojira?
Yes. He also drugged the island of Manhattan. He knocked out a Titan. And he was capable of holding and supporting the heavens themselves. So
he's strong.
He ain't no joke, you know? I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Thor and the Hulk and survived.
I first thought you said he drugged the island of Manhattan. I was like, whoa, that's creepy. Like, one giant roofie?
He dragged.
That'd be disturbing.
He did drug, yes. He drugged the island of Manhattan. He was like, ladies, it's time. No. His superhuman speed, of course, I mentioned. Superhuman stamina. Superhuman durability. We all know what these are. He's immortal. He has a regenerative healing factor, which I don't know if everybody knew about. But it is possible to hurt him. That's one of his weaknesses. He can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's able to regenerate. He can't regenerate if he's missing limbs or organs or something.
Okay.
So let's say he gets really, really plastered and he ends up in a bathtub and his kidney's gone. That ain't coming back.
Okay, so he can't regrow stuff.
Right, and most of this was from Wikipedia. There's a little bit from the superhero database. But the one I found to be, here's some funny ones. They say he's a master combatant, a master archer, an expert marksman with a javelin and discus.
Oh,
not like a gun.
Very Olympic.
Very exact on that. Here's another one they put on there. He's a professional womanizer.
Aww.
A professional?
Professional womanizer.
Well, he's been doing it for thousands of years. Yeah.
Wow. Men want him. Wait, no.
So he's like the original Casanova.
Some men want him, yeah.
Women want him, and men want to be him.
So he's like the original Casanova.
Pretty much. He also is a professional storyteller, a professional drinker, and an oftentimes Avenger member.
That's true.
Now we go to Armstrong's powers. Now you're going to be like, are you just talking about Hercules again? Because he has superhuman strength, near invulnerability, able to heal quickly from injuries, impervious to fire. He can easily survive gunfire to the body. He has a satchel. Now, guys, he has a satchel. I repeat, he has a satchel. He carries his satchel and plays an important part of the story of Armstrong. The satchel contains a variety of mysterious and interesting artifacts. He's accumulated these throughout history. He has in there the mysteries of the ancient worlds, the Eye of the Sphinx, and the trinkets of the gods, the Holy Grail and universes within universes, the very secrets of life itself. When it is held by someone else other than Armstrong, it causes those around them to obey their every wish. Hmm. Although this is not true for Armstrong, which is interesting, which is why it's always a good thing for that to be in his hand. The satchel also has unlimited capacity. He can put pretty much anything in there that he wants, and it'll always store it. We can grab any of us and throw us in the satchel and run off. Yeah. So he's a professional thief, or he could be. Oftentimes he gets drunk and he doesn't realize what he's put in the satchel.
Oh, nice.
So it contains much more than anything he ever knew.
He's like, oh, I got some M&Ms in here. That's cool.
Right, which is very cool because I love M&Ms.
Yeah.
Like peanut.
Yeah.
So without further ado, we're going to let this smackdown begin. Now, I picture this at a bar.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to say bar one because that's not too far
from
where I live. Okay. And I would go to that place all the time. So a little plug for them. But this is going to take place at bar one. It's a very small bar.
Okay.
They're both in there. They both had a rough day.
Right.
Okay. Armstrong comes in. He sees this guy in the corner. The guy in the corner is just really loud. There's all these women around him. He's got drinks. Wine's flowing. There's beer everywhere. And he's laughing. And ha, ha, ha. Armstrong's instantly annoyed because that should be him.
Right.
Plus, he probably hates the beard.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes over and sits at the bar. He has a couple drinks. It's getting more and more annoying. He has a couple more drinks. He has 17 more drinks.
Mm-hmm.
By the 37th drink, he's completely annoyed. And when Hercules gets up to finally evacuate all of the wine that has been flowing through him, he bumps into Armstrong and says, oh, sorry, sir, I apologize, but at least you got to meet the great and ultimate Hercules.
Mm.
I touched you. You've touched, been touched by a god. Armstrong says, big whoop. And that's where it starts. Hercules is like, what did you just say to me?
He's got an ego.
How dare you, sir? Give Do you respect. Know who I am? And sure. Armstrong says, I'm sure I don't care, sir, who you are. He puts his arm on Armstrong's shoulder. Armstrong grabs his arm and flips him over the bar against the glass, shattering the glass. Beer is spilt everywhere. Hercules is already upset.
I was going to say, it's on now.
Because all that beer has been spilled.
Yeah.
Armstrong's upset because all that beer has been spilled. So they get up. They each have a bottle. Hercules grabs one. Armstrong cracks a bottle on the counter. They try to stab each other. It busts. They've got impervious skin. It's not doing any damage. One punches the one. He shakes his head a little bit. He grabs Hercules. You know, Armstrong grabs Hercules, punches him. He shakes his head a little bit. They're shoving and pushing. All the women are screaming and running out of the bar. Everybody's vacating. They're going at it. Going at it over and over and over and over and punching and kicking and hitting and throwing.
They took a beer drink in between?
And this bar is being annihilated.
Yeah, this bar's done.
At one point, they get tossed.
Bar one is bar done.
At one point, then, they both fall to the ground. They're kind of leaning. Everything's kind of spilled over. They look around. Hercules finds, you know, a bottle of wine, cracks it open, the tip, drinks it down. Armstrong looks over, see there's a couple beers, starts drinking the beers. They look at each other. Armstrong gets up. Hercules gets up. They go to come after each other. Armstrong trips. He slips in some water, falls down. His satchel comes out of his hand. Hercules picks this up and says, what is this filled with, sir? What do you have here, you know, and is this your little satchel, boy? And he takes it, and Armstrong says, yes, it's my little satchel, in a boy's voice. And Hercules is like, what is this? What's happening? What, you know, why are you being such a sissy? Why are you being such a girl about this? And Armstrong says, yes, I am kind of being a little girl. And Hercules starts to realize something. Perhaps what he's saying is making Armstrong do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh my God. He starts to put it together, even though he's kind of drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I can make him do whatever I want if I have this satchel. So while Armstrong is immortal, it doesn't mean that Hercules can't tell him to go someplace in particular, a mountain, a cave, bury himself there, and don't come out for 100 years. Now, Hercules, this isn't the end of the battle by all means, because Hercules will look forward to that 100 years of peace, but he will also look forward to another fight, another round. And I think he's going to get a little lonely.
Right.
And I think he's going to go in a couple years, and he's going to go dig up Armstrong wherever he's at.
Or just have the satchel with him and be like, all right, you can come out now.
Right. And then Armstrong will come out. And I think maybe eventually, after a couple years of this kind of nonsense, I think they're just going to become drinking buddies.
Right.
I don't see much to it. I think Hercules is only going to win because he gets the satchel.
Right.
And he's able to control anybody around him or what they do. He's going to get really effing drunk because people will just be bringing him drinks because he's going to demand it because he has a satchel.
Right.
That shit's going to go to his head. So, you know, he might, whereas Armstrong needed Archer to kind of bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules is going to need Armstrong. And therefore, we have the new superhero duo team
of Hercules and Armstrong.
Hercules and Armstrong coming soon when Marvel buys Valiant.
Right.
Which will happen probably at some point.
Unless DC's smart enough to grab him
unless
first.
Unless DC's smart enough to grab him first, yes.
So you're going Hercules.
I'm definitely going Hercules.
Via satchel.
Via trip and satchel.
Okay.
What's funny, the way I was seeing this, you kind of went there already. I thought at some point during a fight, they're going to get so tired and they're going to keep drinking that they're going to look at each other at some point and say, you know what? I kind of like you.
Yeah, I thought you were almost going to go for a draw right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking.
You went for the 100 years later draw.
Right.
But I thought you were going for the draw. They're just going to look at each other and be like, why are we wasting all this alcohol?
Yeah.
Sit and drink.
And also it's like, yo, man, you know, I got these women here. You got your women.
Yeah. And that can easily be the case. But I'm looking
Let's
at
party. Let's just drink and party.
Infuriated Hercules. Infuriated. That's why I think it's going to take him a little bit.
Mm.
It could take a week. I mean, it could take a day.
Mm.
But he's going to do something to Armstrong. He's going to make him do something. And then he's going to hang out. Maybe he'll just have him put clown makeup on himself and go stand out in the middle, you know, in front of the Eiffel Tower in the middle of the crowd and act a fool. And then, like, video it and put it up on YouTube. And then the next day, give them the satchel back, show them the video, and then they're fast friends.
I have a couple questions, and I have some theories. How old is Armstrong?
10,000 years, right?
It says a 10,000-year-old immortal, 10, so he's pretty old, yeah.
Okay. So, here's some things. It could have... When you said Armstrong was a poet,
mm-hmm.
made me go, okay, so he's got more intellect than a Hercules. Although Hercules is a great storyteller, but that could also just be like he just loves it. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's a great storyteller about mm-hmm. all the battles he's mm-hmm. had. So to me, that gave Armstrong more intellect. Hence, chess versus checkers. But, so I was thinking he's got that satchel. If at any point in the fight, like say he got knocked like clear out of the bar, like 100 feet away, he can reach in that satchel and maybe find some old tome that says, how do you defeat an Olympian god or something like that.
Right.
That popped in my head. The only thing I'm thinking is, even satchel or not, I love that the satchel is such a third character. Satchel or not, I think Hercules, and to be fair, I don't know Armstrong as much as I do Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hercules is just relentless. And it's like chess versus checkers. Even if I'm smarter than, let's say, George St. Pierre, the UFC, the ex-UFC, or currently it's going to be a UFC fighter, it doesn't matter. He'll still kick my ass in a fight. I can be smarter as far as, like, I know where to hide better, but he still has the skills and the fighting prowess to beat my ass no matter what. Hercules... So I'm going two things with Hercules. Hercules is well beyond 10,000 years older than the 10,000-year-old Armstrong.
Right.
So he's got a vast more... And all his experience is battle experience. It's all battle experience.
So you compare him to Deathlock in that respect.
Yeah, in a sense. Or I just compare him to the Greek god Hercules. Like, yes. You know, all the legends and the myths.
No, the whole experience factor. Of the field.
Mm-hmm. Totally, completely. I give it to Hercules, but there's definitely a version of where Armstrong finds something in his satchel that can maybe give him an edge to defeat, like, some, you know, mystic Atlantean sword that could, like, pierce the, you know, the flesh of a god, you know, like, something like that. If he was given the time to find it, come up with it. Now we're talking, like, he has to get knocked clear, like, hundreds of feet away, go hide, look in the satchel, you know, so if Hercules is just flaming mad going at him, he's not going to have the time to do that.
Right.
So I'm saying even without the satchel coming into his hands and him figuring that out, I still think he would just, by battle prowess alone and time, he would win.
What if he pulled out the wand of Circe?
That's what I'm saying. He can pull out... He has an edge as far as if he... One, he's also got to know that he's dealing with Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
You know? As of right now, they're in a bar and they just got into a fight and they're both drunk. Like, you're tough, I'm tough.
And they're drunk.
Yeah. And they're both drunk.
And poet or not, and intelligence level or not, I've seen a lot of very intelligent men get down to a very unintelligible level when they've had a few too many.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then the rage of fighting.
The chess and checkers thing kind of goes out the window for me in that aspect.
I don't know. When I'm really drunk, I'm pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Well, you probably think that.
Could you quote Shakespeare while you're drunk?
Have you?
I could slur Shakespeare.
Have you guys ever seen Beer Fest?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay, so they do this thing in Beer Fest where this guy, like, has a few drinks, and this beautiful woman, like, comes up to him, and he's, like, a poet. He's so good at what he's saying. They go back to his place. They make love. And then he wakes up and looks over. I think this is how it goes. I could be wrong. It's been a while. And he sees this very large woman in his bed. And then he starts having flashbacks of him wearing this beer box on his head, saying like he's the king of some shit, I don't know. And he's being really annoying, and he falls down and shit. And this large woman like picks him up, and he's like, hey, baby, you look so good. And then it like shows him going back to his place with her and them having sex. And he's like disgusted by the whole thing. It's pretty hilarious. I think that these guys are going to not have sex with each other, But they're, you know, later going to realize that perhaps, and most likely Hercules, oh my God, I had way too much to drink.
Right.
Where did I put Armstrong?
Right.
Poor
Armstrong.
It might take him a little bit. He might even pick him up.
Right.
And put him in the satchel.
Right.
You know, so who knows? But yeah, what did you think, Kevin? Did you think Armstrong or Hercules on this?
Originally, I was thinking Armstrong because the satchel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could pull out, like, certain the weapons you mentioned, like the Wand of Circe, or, like Jared said, if you had enough time to look up a tome that talked about how to defeat an Olympian god.
Right.
Maybe I was thinking about that in a way. If he kind of realized, wait a minute, didn't someone say he's Hercules? Or we were at a point, he actually did say his name. He said, hey, I'm the great Hercules.
Right, oh, you've met the god, yeah. Hercules.
So if he remembers, wait a minute, he says Hercules. Is it possible for him to jump into that satchel? In a way, like by himself, or he has to.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think he's only ever dug
okay.
in.
Okay, but also then I gotta say a counterpoint that what he just—they're both drunk. So,
they're both drunk. So common sense goes out the door.
Yeah. So you give it to?
I give it as a drunken draw.
Drunken draw. All right, drunken draw. So this one, I guess this one will go to Hercules overall. Again, it's a democracy, Kevin.
So 1-1-1, or sorry, 2-1.
Hercules takes it by drunken mistake, and that'll pretty much end it, guys. Please subscribe to us. We now have an Instagram page. We have a Twitter account.
Facebook.
iTunes.
Subscribe. Tell your friends.
Show us the love.
Yeah. Right. We are on the website, rumblespoon.com. We've got our podcast listed there. We've got videos coming on YouTube as well as on Rumble Spoon. We've got all kinds of fun stuff in store for you guys.
2017 is going to be fun.
So love it, like it, and we'll see you at the comic shop.